Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
This is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the Gospel Lectionary selection for the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Proper 21, Pentecost 19, Year B. We're home from the road and ready to hear what Jesus has to say. Cut off your arm? Gouge out your eye? What the? This is going to take some work. All right, let's give it a try.
We've established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary. They use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we can make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. Let's get started.
Well, we're back. We're back. Yay. From vacation. We're back home. And
it's raining.
What a long, strange trip it's been.
Well, and, for some of you.
For some of us.
Son of us?
Son of us. For me. And it's been raining ever since I got home. So the grass is about 2 feet long and we're having a good time. So it's a good day for recording a podcast. And here we are. So we're going to take a look at the gospel lection for year B, Ordinary 26. It's Mark 9, verses 38 to 50. Picks up right where we left off last week and jumps in. So it starts off, there's a lot going on in these couple of paragraphs here. So it starts off with John coming to Jesus and saying, hey, we ran across a guy that was doing exorcism in your name, but he doesn't come with us, so we told him to quit. And Jesus says, don't be an idiot. Well, he didn't say that. He said, don't do that.
Yeah.
If someone is doing a powerful work in my name, they won't soon be able to say anything bad about me. So, you know, If they're not against us, they're for us. Then he goes on and kind of drives the point that the disciples still aren't quite getting the idea of the ins and outs of the kingdom of God.
Well, they think they're on the in and everyone else is in the out.
Right. And so he's trying to make the point here. So he said, if you put a stumbling block in front of one of these little ones that trusts and believe in me, then you'd be better off with a giant millstone around your neck being flung into the sea. So that's dramatic.
Yeah.
And then he starts talking about hacking off your limbs. So
yeah. Well, you know, you got to kind of wonder, what were the disciples' response to the first one? Were they all kind of sitting there going, and then he's like, okay, I really need to push this analogy.
Yeah.
And then starts talking about dismemberment.
So if your hand causes you to sin, chop it off, because you'd be better off entering the kingdom with one hand than have two hands and get flung into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out.
Yeah, that one always bothered me. Yeah. I'm really a sissy when it comes to people touching my eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, I gave up wearing contacts because I just couldn't stick my finger in my eyes anymore.
Yeah. So so your hand, your foot, your eye. It'd be better to be maimed than
Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah, right. Hey,
Hey, there you go. Yeah.
Could use that for an illustration, special effect. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I like that. Well, let's pick that one up. Okay. So anyway, so there's all that. And so he's really trying to make the point here that it's better not to sin. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of the idea here. And then he wraps it up with everyone will be salted with fire. Salt's good, but if salt loses its taste, how are you going to season? And the Greek says, how will you season?
Hmm.
So that either means, how will you season things with your useless salt, or how will you season the salt?
Hmm.
If I read that correctly. Anyway, then have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Okay. So this is what we come back to. Okay. Yeah, can I go back on sabbatical?
No. Well, right. I don't know. Maybe it's just a bunch of sayings that Jesus had used at different times that Mark, you know, he might have been writing this part and it's like, oh yeah, I remember that one. Oh yeah, that one too. Let's add this one. Maybe it wasn't all at one shot.
Yeah, they don't all flow together.
They really don't.
Too well, much as he tries to stitch them together, mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. it were. But yeah, so the point though seems to be, I'm not sure. I mean, the middle part is, it's better to give up your sin.
Mm-hmm. Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
As it were. Very nice. The first part is, you know, it's almost the opposite. It's like, don't cut off the parts that you're going to need.
Right, you know? Right.
This guy who's an exorcist that doesn't follow us, he's not doing us any harm. So leave him be.
Right.
All right. Don't gouge that one out.
Right.
And don't do anything to we'll talk about the little ones in a little bit.
Right.
All right. Well, we'll see what we can do. We've got a number of things to offer you in the different intelligences. So let's just see what comes up. We've got Word Smart Illustration. We've got iSmart Illustration and Special Effect. Illustrations in Math Smart, Body Smart, and Nature Smart. And both illustrations and special effects for people and self.
We could have an illustration for Music Smart if we use Ice Cube's song, Check Yourself.
Ah.
Yeah. But we'll let you decide on that one, because there are two options here, the explicit lyrics or the not so much.
Maybe we ought to use the not so much. We don't want to scandalize anybody.
True.
Speaking of which.
Hey, there you go. Rolling right into Word Smart. Because verse 42, put a stumbling block before, is a lot more verby. Cause to stumble is sort of what comes out of the Greek word skandalise. It's obviously we recognize that word as scandalize. The modern this is an illustration here. A modern definition is shock or horrify someone by a real or imagined violation of propriety or morality. That's how we understand the word scandal. It's also a television show on ABC starring Carrie Russell, which really, you know, has nothing to do with this. But there you go.
It does have to do with scandals.
Well, it does have to do with scandal, yes. The archaic definition of the word scandalize, there are two of them. One of them is to speak falsely or maliciously of, or to bring into reproach, which seems to be what the disciples are doing with this guy that's outside their circle who is exercising demons in Jesus' name. They are speaking against him and trying to bring him into reproach, trying to get Jesus to crack down on this guy because he's doing outside work.
Laboring outside the bounds,
So Jesus seems to be using it to say, if you do something that shocks someone into not trusting me, you would do better with the old heave-ho.
Yeah.
So there's some people smart intelligences in that too, and the idea of relationships and breaking relationships and sustaining relationships by how one behaves and responds to other people.
That might be kind of the link into the stuff about the sinning.
Okay.
You know, if you sin in such a way that people would see it and say, oh, that's why Jesus' followers doing
right.
that.
And so bringing shame and dishonor on Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right. So that kind of goes into our iSmart stuff, right?
Yeah, it does. For an illustration, there's a comic by a fellow who goes by The Naked Pastor. And you may have seen this one. It's a simple one-cell comic mm-hmm. where a bunch of people are out and about on a plane, and they all have like 8-foot pencils, and they're drawing lines between each other mm-hmm. in a big grid. And Jesus is in the middle, and he's the only one using the eraser, and he's trying to erase the lines.
I like that one.
It's a great, great picture. And so that has some application here for what Jesus is doing, especially in that first part. Then with verse 42 about putting a stumbling block in front of the little ones, we have a video for you that went viral a few years ago of a woman who actually intentionally tripped a 4-year-old boy in a restaurant because he had run by and bumped into the table or something. And mm-hmm. on his way out, she tripped him. So you could talk about that. And I think the link that we have has the story connected with it, but so you can make use of that and the scandal that produced. She got pretty well raked over the internet. Going on to special effect, going around the dismemberment parts here, depending on your particular congregation and their tolerance for such things, we have a variety of illusions that you can do for severing various body parts or making it look that way. So we've got an illusion of having your hand already cut off, of cutting off a finger, of cutting off your assistant's hand with a guillotine, cutting into your arm with a knife, the classic dad illusion of severing your thumb. Mm-hmm. And an illusion of poking your eye out.
I didn't even look at that one. Not even.
You use a fork and a coffee creamer.
What?
Coffee creamer.
Oh, God.
You hold it.
Oh, those little cups. Oh, yeah. Ew, man, that would do me in.
So, you know, depending on how graphic you want to get, you might want to back it up to the dad severing the thumb trick, right?
Unless you're like that kid in Parenthood, movie Parenthood, who freaks out by that.
Of course, it's almost Halloween here, and so there are bound to be severed hands lying about in stores all over the place before too long. So you could probably pick one of those up for a couple of bucks. So anyway, the idea here is just to get people engaged in the idea of what is Jesus actually talking about, cutting off your hand or your arm and, you know.
Are we speaking literally or metaphorically?
Right.
There goes the hard work of interpretation, as Barbara Bowne Taylor said in a commentary I read.
Right.
Yep. Okay, so for Math Smart, we're wondering if this is the logic of greater to lesser that is often employed by Jesus in his parables. Is it that way that he takes an example and makes it pushes it way over the top in order to be able to make a point. So for an illustration of this logic, compare and contrast a stumbling block, a rock that is just big enough to trip over, and a great millstone, which is one of those large stone wheels weighing several hundred or even thousands of pounds, and then ask folks, which one of these two would you rather deal with?
For Body Smart, by way of illustration, invite people to consider their bodies and could you actually cut off one of your limbs or your members, as Jesus is talking about here? I mean, most people are not comfortable with that. And unless it's an exceedingly dire situation and you've had some time to come to grips with it, most people would rather not.
Mm-hmm.
And may find themselves actually incapable of doing so.
Mm-hmm.
So we came up with a couple of illustrations here. And you may remember the movie that came out a couple of years ago, 127 Hours, which stars James Franco. And it's a story about a fellow who is a mountaineer, and he gets trapped when he falls into a crevasse.
Mm-hmm.
And a boulder, Moab Canyon. And a boulder lands on his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And he is trapped. And he has to decide what he's going to do in order to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have an article that's based on that story. It's based on a true story of Aaron Ralston. And so we have an article that talks about how you would go about
actually doing that.
He actually ended up, spoiler, severing his arm so he could get out of there alive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what Jesus is talking about. So there's an illustration that you can use.
Mm-hmm. We do have a link to Ice-T's song, Check Yourself, but be aware the lyrics are fairly explicit. It was released in 1993 when attitudes toward women in hip-hop was also still fairly rough, I guess, maybe would be a good way of putting it. But yeah. Anyway, there are some phrases. The idea of the song is to examine your life and make better choices.
Okay.
So for Nature Smart,
there are probably lots of other songs.
Oh yes, yes,
follow that same theme.
Exactly.
If you want to use
Check Yourself by Ice-T, by all means, find something else.
Yeah.
So for Nature Smart, in verse 42, talking about the millstone, it's we're putting this in Nature Smart in that it's a stone, a rock. It's one that's been cut out and shaped, and it's been turned into a technological tool, but it is still something that has come from the ground. In verses 49 and 50, Jesus talks about salt. And we have a link to a history of salt, how salt has played a really major part in the history of humankind until, you know, really just about 100, 150 years ago when it became so common. There are different types of salt.
It's still playing a significant role. It's
well,
just,
yes, just not here in this country. Yes, right. We also have a link to a study of a particular insect species and the survival benefit of something called autotomy, or a shedding of an injured limb, versus the cost of keeping that injured limb. So if you are an insect and you have a limb that's not working very properly and you may become bird food, shed the limb so you can get out of there. Mm-hmm. So there are some nature illustrations.
For People Smart, we have a link to a commentary by David Loos, who writes about this passage. He suggests, perhaps what I'm inviting, in light of Jesus' admonition to his first century disciples, is for his 21st century disciples to write a different ending to the scene. And this would be the first scene,
right,
with the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on, "We saw some people, Lord, who were..." fill in the blank, "casting out demons, working for justice, advocating for those who lost their jobs and feel left behind, caring for veterans, protesting injustice, and more, all in your name. They do not follow us. In fact, we really disagree with them. But we did not try to stop them, and they gave us a cup of cold water, and that was cool." So that's kind of neat. Make use of that. Mm-hmm. For a special effect, going with those same first few verses, 38 to 40, on the disciples stopping the unknown exorcist, like we suggested last week, you could write a skit, a short skit about this where we demonstrate this interaction. So basically what's going to happen is one person is speaking well of another, and a mutual friend tries to stop that person because...
they're nuts.
Because, yeah. So it might be something like this.
So there's this guy, Jesus, and he does really awesome things. I've seen him casting out demons. I've seen him healing people. I've seen him feeding people. He's truly, he's cool. You wouldn't believe it. Seriously, you need to know
about
it.
Hey, knock that off.
What?
Stop talking about Jesus like that.
What do you mean?
Jesus is my friend. You can't talk about him like that.
Well, but why not? He's so cool. I mean, have you seen the things he's been doing?
Yeah, I have, but you shut up because you don't come along. You're not as good a friend as I am, so you're not allowed to say stuff like that.
What on earth are you talking about?
And then Jesus would come in himself and say, hey, you guys, what's going on? How are you doing? I see you've met. What's up?
Hey, Jesus, it's good to meet you finally.
Jesus, this guy's he's talking smack about you. Well, he's talking
smack.
He's
talking, oh, I don't think
he's talking
so.
Good stuff, but he doesn't come along with us. He's not in our group, so I told him not to. And Jesus be like,
dude,
what are you talking about? You're both my friends. Come on, group hug. Get together. Bring it in here.
Right. Well, so, that's kind of the idea. You can fiddle with that as you see fit.
Yeah, something like that. And it doesn't have to be Jesus. I mean, it could be somebody else, you know, to illustrate the point. So, yeah. All right. Well, anyway, people for drama. And there you go.
For self-smart, we have a quote from Debbie Thomas, who writes at the blog Journey with Jesus. I think her entire essay is worth a read, especially the paragraphs that come immediately after this particular quote. But here she writes, the longer I'm a Christian, the more awed and overwhelmed I am by the radical nature of Jesus' openness, inclusivity, and hospitality. Every time I think I've made my circle of inclusion wide enough, Jesus says, nope. Make it wider. Your circle is still too small and stingy. Every time I think I've drawn an appropriate line in the sand between us and them, saint and sinner, saved and damned, Jesus scatters sand all over my line until it disappears. Whoever is not against us is for us. Whoever doesn't oppose the beautiful and salvific words of God, mercy, justice, love, kindness, liberation, peacemaking, healing, nurturing, is on Christ's side. How mind-blowing is that? How challenging for us Christians who love our institutional, denominational, doctrinal, and socio-cultural cliques so very, very much. That particular quote caught my attention because I think that is exactly what the disciples are dealing with. And this quote speaks specifically to that and to our shared tendency exclusivity that the disciples are exhibiting there. So for a special effect, ask these questions. How dire do you think your sin is? If you thought actually amputating a limb would keep you from sinning, would you do it? Or would you rather cling to your sin and the death it deals? The underside of this question may be, how seriously do you take what Jesus says? Now, we're not advocating for self-amputation or mutilation or anything like that. We're just asking a theological question. A way to illustrate this, or to demonstrate it even further, would be to play this game called Would You Rather with a congregation. Give them a series of choices between two options, and they have to pick one of them. Start off with things that are pretty easy, like chocolate or vanilla, burgers or pizza, and then move increasingly personal and challenging choices. End up where Jesus did. Keep sinning, or cut off your arm. Welcome the little ones, or get sunk in the sea. And if you want to really add a layer to it, make it a body activity by having people actually move on a continuum, on a line in the worship space. That's up to you. Doing it mentally and as a self-examination might be challenging enough.
Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe got an idea you liked even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Remember to check out the show notes, worksheets, links, and resources at our website. They go hand in glove with the podcast and give you lots more material to work with. Don't forget to subscribe using the links on the website for iTunes, Google Play, Android, or good old RSS. Or point your podcasting software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. Help others find us more easily by writing a review at the iTunes store, and of course, you can share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another episode next week. In the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.
Yeah. Cats don't usually trip.
No, but it's funny when they do. Anyway.